morning, North America. Welcome to Church Talk Radio and all things church transformation. I'm your co-host, Dr. Bill Tenney Britton, in our studio in Columbia, Missouri, the heartland of the U.S. And as usual, I'm joined by my co-host, author and denominational leader, Dr. Chris Tenney Britton, the area minister of the Northeast area of the Christian Church Disciples of Christ of Mid-America. Try and say that three times fast. Good morning, Chris.
Well, good morning, and welcome to Church Talk Live.
Bill and Chris Tenney Britton here today to talk to you about Social Media 101. You know, one of the things I find, Chris, is that when we work with churches, that there's just a total disconnect between a lot of the church leadership and social media. They really don't know how to use it. They're clueless. A lot of folks I find don't even have a Facebook account, which means, of course, that they're not communicating with their kids or grandkids much.
Well, yesterday morning, I was in a conversation with a group of pastors. We were doing group coaching, and this became part of our conversation about did they have Facebook. So far, I've been able to avoid it, and back and forth it went. And you know, the general consensus, even though some of them still are not on Facebook, was that, yeah, I'm going to need to do that if I'm going to communicate and I'm going to interact with our young people.
Well, one of the great things about those folks who have not yet signed in as pastors onto the wide world of Facebook and social media is that so many pastors and church staff and church leaders have made some really big blunders in how they set up their Facebook accounts.
Oh my goodness.
And so, well, we're going to be talking about that. We'll be talking about Twitter, what's the point? And we're going to be talking about blogs. Those are the three key social media tools that are going on right now. And if you're watching this anytime later than 2011, there's probably three more tools that we're not going to cover in this session. And you have to look for something a little more current. But
And talking about social media in general, there are some pieces that I think are going to hold us in good stead.
Absolutely.
Because it is opening a whole new world to us. But let's say that. For better or worse, social media is part of our culture.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, it's not going anywhere.
Right.
And, you know, we'll talk about the betters and for worse, but here's the deal, folks. You might as well get used to it because it's not going away.
Well, and even if you choose not to use it, which could be a horrendous blunder in and of itself, even if you choose to, your folks are using it, and it is really changing the way we interact, the way we do relationships, the way we don't interact with one another, how we find significance, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That's a whole program in and of itself.
It is, but, you know, but you just sort of hit on what we get the response from church leaders all the time is, wow, you know, we don't like it because. And so let's real quick talk about some of the four worses, for better, for worse. Well, these are some of the four worses. And the first and the biggest four worse that we find with church leaders, especially church pastors, is that social media can become one huge distraction.
Well, you know, I keep wondering about this. We know the allure for some pastors, unfortunately, of internet porn and how they get up there. But I sometimes think that some of these games are just as alluring. Maybe, well, I don't know, maybe more so for
Mafia
some of us.
Mafia Wars, Farming, or Farmville.
Yeah, and it kicks me. Okay, some of you guys are going to unfriend me for this one, I'm sure. But, you know, you can sit up there and you see people's assistants who, you know, are on in your network, and they're playing Farmville in the middle of the day over and over and over again. You're like, woohoo, what are you not doing today? Right? So it can be very distracting. And in fact, I know somebody who recently took himself off Facebook because he said, I was spending too much time up there and I need to fast from it for a while.
Okay. And it's a good response if you
limits.
Find your health
yeah,
problems.
Yeah, right. Okay, so another
problem. Isolation is a huge problem.
Yeah.
That we find people who are addicted, if you will, or very much immersed in the social networking, it becomes very easy to isolate. And there's a lot of cocooning going on as it is.
Well, yeah, but we don't know that we're isolating. In fact, one of those pastors yesterday said, well, you know, what do I care that you're going into what store to buy makeup? You know, that kind of pieces. But she said this magical word, and it was significance. And one of the pieces is people want to be noticed, right? But you can do that within an isolation, and it causes a false sense of significance to think, well, people are reading my Facebook,
updates.
My updates. Yeah, woohoo. So if people are paying attention to you, then somehow you must be significant. But again, that is a false significance, and it's really born of this isolation.
Right. Well, another issue is, given with all this, you know, I'm going to the makeup store to get whatever, is that there's an erosion of privacy, and that the reality is anything you put on Facebook, and you have the privacy limits and all the rest that you can put on there and other social media, but what goes on Facebook stays on Facebook, and it can stay on Facebook for a long, long time.
Well, another problem with privacy, one is it lets people know when you're not at home, and some of us friend anybody who sends us a friend request. So
right.
If we're out and telling them where we are, we are also subtextingly telling them that we're not there. We also know that although you may delete posts that you've made, it doesn't leave the Facebook server. So it stays on that server, and I'd heard this, and now I experienced this not too long ago, that if you can do searches, and sometimes there is a glitch that allows you in a back door. So I was doing a search for a study I was working on, and all of a sudden that led me into the back door of somebody's Facebook. And I started to back out to see if I could get them, but I got to a backed out place where I couldn't go in if I wasn't their friend. So you may think that you're posting privately, but it doesn't necessarily mean it's private. You may get in there. Somebody could get to you through a back door. And people who know a whole lot more about this stuff, they are going to know what to do with it.
Right. Well, and the final thing I want to say about for better or for worse, and the worst part, is that it can create a marketing nightmare for the church. You know, today people are giving and going by recommendations. In fact, our daughter all the time says she's checking out this product or that product, and she goes to find recommendations. Do her friends like it? Do other people like it? And if someone takes exception to something you've done at church, something you've said at church, it can go viral. And, you know, that means not good marketing for the church.
Yeah.
And so it can become a huge marketing nightmare. So be careful what you post and et cetera. So.
Right. Okay. So these are the worst. But we're obviously, there's some good reasons for using it. And let's talk about the for better, for worse, the betters.
Right.
Why are some reasons we should use social media?
Well, one of the great things about social media is that it encourages transparency.
Yeah.
And, you know, we live in a world where we've compartmentalized, and this transparency has helped to erode some of this compartmentalization, so that someone who's reading your Facebook updates, your status updates, or your Twitter feeds or whatever, they can find out more about you than, you know, that's a figurehead up there. And that encourages, of course, the transparency if you choose to imbibe, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. But it also presents a well-rounded person, depending on what you're putting up there. And we'll talk about that in a little bit.
Okay, so another is that it's a great inexpensive marketing tool, a great way to get information out for people to see this. Before Facebook, actually, but I had a friend say, wow, you need to go check out this church I'm going to. You've got to go watch the pastor. And we were able to go, you know, and to find out about that. But now more and more people are saying, wow, you should see what my pastor is writing. And you should friend him on Facebook, or you should follow her on Twitter. And they're doing that. In fact, in this meeting yesterday morning, I had three people say, yeah, I followed your husband's tweet. And I'm like, what about mine?
You actually have to tweet to be follow worthy, and we'll talk about that a little bit too.
Okay.
And then finally, in the better category, is that it is today the preferred communication tool of those who are under 30.
Right.
More and more under 30s don't even have email accounts. Well, they do actually. You have to have an email account to have either of those,
right,
but
exactly.
Facebook or whatever. But they're not checking it very often. And in fact, recent conversations I've had with a number of the under 30s, they say they use their email strictly for business, and they only check it once or twice a week, if that. So it's the preferred method today of communicating. So it's, you know, there's some better stuff there.
Okay, so let's get into this, because there's a lot of stuff here. Again, we want to talk to you about the handout, and if you look at that, you'll find more than what we're able to cover today. We want to talk about Twitter for a moment.
Now, well, let's circle.
Okay.
We're going to talk about Twitter.
Okay.
We're going to talk about blogs. and we're going to talk about Facebook. And we'll wrap up talking about how to use social media. So those are the upcoming in the next 15 minutes. Then we want you to be prepared for that. Twitter, blog, Facebook, and how to use social media in general.
Okay, so now, really, we also need to say there are books that are written on this. Twitter for Dummies, Blogs for Dummies, Facebook for Dummies. We can't even begin to touch on this. So we're going to give you some highlights, particularly for those of you who may not be familiar with them. You can find more information about, say, Twitter at twitter.com, Facebook at facebook.com. Okay. So
and
let's jump
about
in
blogs.
And, about Twittering.
And then the key of what we're going to be talking about today is related to church. And there's not a lot of books written about how to tweet for churches.
Not
so,
at this point.
So Twitter. You know, one of the keys about Twitter is that Twitter is really used primarily by celebrities, by businesses who are advertising to businesses, and by businesses who are advertising to clients. Now, if you put the church as a business, and I, you know, you may chafe at that, but let's be honest, you're an organization. So an organization advertising to clients, potential clients, that's one way or one use of Twitter. The, the problem is that Twitter is all about how many followers you can get, and anyone can follow anyone unless you've gone totally private, in which case, why do you have a Twitter account? But, you know, Twitter is you can have thousands. In fact, I have several thousand people who follow me. With that large capacity, that means that when I post, when I tweet, if you will, that it really goes into real time and very few people probably are reading it. And I recognize that. So it means that whatever you tweet may not be seen by a lot of people in real time. And sometimes they're not seen at all. And that's one of the things you got to get used to. But there are some good reasons for having a Twitter account. And I'll talk about that in just a moment. And when it comes to churches, though, if you're going to have a Twitter account, you need to have a church Twitter account. It's fine if you want to be the pastor and have a pastor's Twitter account. But it becomes problematic when you leave your church, because ethics say when you leave your church, you got to leave. And that means you have to, if you will, shut down your Twitter account or go through and remove all those followers. So really, the church needs to set up their own Twitter account. And then you can post via or tweet via that Twitter account. So that's step one. Number two, you can use, when you use Twitter, one of the greatest ways of using Twitter for your church is to use hashtags. Now, a hashtag is the pound key on your telephone or the number sign above the three. A hashtag, and a good example of that is if you're watching this on the live, or if you go to our homepage, churchtalk.tv, you can see in the left-hand column down below that you can see hashtags, and it's hashtag churchtalktv. And if you do a search for a hashtag, like go to twitter.com/search, and you type in hashtag or the pound sign, churchtalktv, it will show you people who have posted using the hashes. So you can have like the name of your church, First Baptist Salina, whatever, and use a hashtag. And when someone posts, blah, 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 hashtag church, First Church Salina, you can do a search and find all those hashtags. Mm-hmm. The other thing is, and this is what I use Twitter for more than anything else, is you can use Twitter and connect it with your Facebook account. You can connect it with your blog account. Mm-hmm. So when I blog, it updates my Twitter account, and my Twitter account updates my Facebook account, and it takes care of it with one click, if you will. Same with if I tweet, it automatically goes to my Facebook alone, so I get twice the bang for the buck. So that's really, for me, the best use of Twitter. And I know that your eyes just totally glazed over. If you want conversation about this, you know, we can have it. All right, talk about blogs for a moment, okay? Blogs. You want to say anything about blogs?
One should do them.
Yeah, one should do them.
On a very regular basis.
Right.
I know this because my husband tells me it all the time.
Yes.
A blog, let's say what a blog is. I want to say this about Twitter, too. We didn't say this, but for those who aren't familiar with it, when you tweet, which is what you do when you send a message through Twitter, you only get 140 characters,
right.
Not words, but characters. And so what you're really trying to do is hit a highlight, get someone to someone else, to somewhere else. And people literally are only glancing at the Twitter, at the tweets.
At the tweets.
So they're scrolling through, they're spending seconds, just seconds, maybe 5 or 10 seconds on your tweet and yours amongst all the others. So you want to try it to be creative, something that's
right.
going to stand out. Not too much detail. Twitter is not the place to give details about anything.
Right, exactly. Okay? Good
it's
point.
Point.
Good
you
point.
Over.
You want to attract attention.
Okay.
All right. Back
so,
blogs.
Like for your blog.
Right,
okay. So
exactly.
There's the segue there.
Okay. Here's the deal. Every pastor should have a blog. Every staff member of age-graded ministries should have a blog. And you should be writing on the blog.
But not about what's going on in your personal life. This is to give nice, helpful tips. You know, if you ever wanted to be in print, here's your opportunity to write on certain topics.
Right, and we'll talk about the topics you should be writing on in a moment, or could be writing on. But let me start off with, if you don't have a blog, you can get one for free at WordPress.com or Blogger.com. Both of them have free. And you can also add it to your own website. The best practice of a blog is, A, you need to blog at least weekly. Okay, and I'm guilty of not doing it all the time, but you need to blog every week. The best thing about that, though, is blogs are expected to be short. So one or two paragraphs, really, keep it short. And if you really want a blog that's going to be read by lots of people, and that's the point of the blog, you want to keep a theme to your blog.
Right.
So, you know, if you're going to do devotions, do devotions. If you're going to do, if you have any sort of funny bone, if you can write humor, man, you are in like Flint. You can write and people will follow you all over if you can write comedically. Not my thing. You know, there's a lot of different themes you can do, if, you know, cooking or whatever, you know, insights, so on. And then finally, when you do your blog, include multimedia. Do pictures, do video. If you see a YouTube video you like, you know, link to it, bring it in WordPress and Blogger. You can both bring in the image itself and so on. This is just the normal stuff that you can do with a blog. And of course, people will follow your blog. They'll sign up and get your blog. And of course, connect your blog to your Twitter account and connect your Twitter account to your Facebook account, which brings us, of course, to Facebook.
I know something about Facebook.
Yay! Okay, yeah. Well, Facebook is
social media.
Facebook is the largest social media on the planet right now. And in fact, it's got enough followers that it makes up like the third largest country in terms of people who join together. If you put them all in one place, it'd be bigger than almost everyone but China and India, perhaps. But anyway, so Facebook. There's multiple ways you can set up a Facebook account. You want to talk about the three, or do you want me to, or at least start off?
I can start us off with the three. There are business accounts, personal accounts, and celebrity accounts.
With this caveat,
okay, go ahead.
A celebrity account is not a real account. We'll talk about the difference between personal and celebrity account. It's the way you use the account. Business and personal are the two main accounts for Facebook.
Okay, and get this. If you are a church, do not set up a personal account, or Facebook will throw you away. Or they will freeze your account. They will freeze your account while they investigate it, which could take weeks upon weeks upon weeks. In which case, then you've got to figure out how to set up another account.
And once they find out you're an organization, they'll delete your account.
That's right. I think that's where what happened to us. So yes, we just know that we're not able to do any Facebooking for the Northeast area of the Church of Jesus Christ in America.
Okay, so
all right,
a business account is an account that is, of course, has a business. And a church is an organization.
Whether
you like it or not, Facebook considers you a business. And so if you're going to set up a church account, and you should, then set up a business account and use an email address of the church. So office@mychurch.org or something like that. Don't use your pastor's email account. Don't use your secretary's email account. Get an account for the church.
If you need to go to Gmail, just set up a Gmail account and set it up, name of your church, you know. I don't know, Millersburg Christian Church at gmail.com.
Right. So go ahead and set that up. And then start your business account. Now, the difference between a business account and a personal account is a business account can't have friends. You can only have fans. And I know I hate the word, but you're stuck with it, and that's how it is.
Sure.
But the nice thing about a business account is, of course, you get every time you make an update, it updates all your fans automatically. It automatically goes to your fans. And the second thing is that you get demographics with it and user statistics. So you want to be keeping it up, and you can make your pastor administrator, and when they leave, you take the pastor off. Your secretary administrator, every staff member can be an administrator on this page so that they can update it and et cetera. You can do most everything in terms of your business account you can do on a regular account in terms of, you know, videos and et cetera. So it's just different, and if someone comments on a post you make, then their friends will also see that. So it can be very helpful for expanding it.
Sure.
The second one is, of course, a personal account. And I'm not going to go into a lot of detail about the personal account. A personal account is just that. You use your personal email address, and it's about you. And there's some very huge problems with pastors and church staff members using personal accounts to friend all their church buddies and whatnot, because, again, when you leave, you have to unfriend them, which is very unkind, which really brings us to if you're going to do it as a pastor, and you should, or a staff member, as you should, is to set up a celebrity account. A celebrity account is just that. It's a personal account, but you're going to use your church domain. Again, pastor@mychurch.org or youthpastor@mychurch.org. Again, set up a Gmail account if you don't have one for yourchurch.org. And that is a page that you use for church. And you get everyone to friend you there. And, of course, you're going to post into your church's business account as well. You want to connect them together. But this personal page, your celebrity page, is for you and the church. So everything you put on there, you want to be careful about what you put. It's keep it positive in general, be transparent, but be, if you will, guardedly transparent and so on, so that, you know, you're using the account personally, but for business as well.
You know, I might say, if we don't like that word celebrity, we could call it the pastor account, okay?
Right.
That this is, you've got your church account, but then you've got where you're able to speak to your people and be on them as their pastor. This, we're seeing again too many times on Facebook how pastors are not feeling well, how they're this or that. In extreme cases, we've seen where they've actually have dissed or put down people in their in their congregation, or my congregation is driving me crazy. And we see less and less of that now than we did, because, you know, there's been a lot of talk about that. And at least there's been some cautions placed out there from.
And we have some Ten Commandments at the end of the show, if we have time, and if not, on the handout.
The pastor's account is one of the best tools that we have. I treat my Twitter, which I know that before I set all this up, before I knew better, I've learned, you know, but my Twitter and my Facebook, I use them for professional reasons. And that's what they're there. It's to help get the word out. It's about church talk. Maybe you saw this listed on my Twitter, but you won't see on those accounts how I'm feeling, how I'm not feeling well, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, keep it separate.
With this caveat.
Okay.
And we're going to talk about this. Well, in fact, we'll talk about that in a little bit. Okay.
Oh, okay.
All right. Then last thing I want to talk about, celebrity account. The nice thing about celebrity account is pastor or staff member, when you leave the church, you just delete the account.
Gone.
Now, you can also have a personal account if you want with a personal email. Just don't confuse that with people in your church. Keep it personal. Keep it your family and your personal friends and so on.
Well, and I would say I was speaking with a denominational executive, a middle judicatory exec recently, who said when people friend me, I decline. And he said, it is my personal account. And he said, most of the time, almost across the board, people understand that. So know that if someone says, I'm sorry, I won't accept your friendship, that's the reason. But there is a difference between the personal and the professional.
Right, exactly.
Right? Keep them separate.
All right, so the last thing I want to talk about Facebook is advertising. And advertising is something that people are missing. Churches, you're missing if you're not advertising on Facebook. I know you think I'm getting a kickback. I'm not. There's no kickback coming from Facebook.
Unfortunately.
Unfortunately. Here's the deal, is that Facebook, you can decide who's going to see your advertising. Now, an advertisement in Facebook is an image, a title, and a few words, a sentence or less, that describes what you're doing, advertising, etc. The nice thing is you can say, I just want this going to this zip code, people who are over 22 years old or only 25 years old who are interested in jazz music, so you're doing a jazz concert, or people who are interested in spirituality if you're doing some spirituality studies, or people who are interested in Bible studies if you're doing a Bible study, or people who are interested in anything at all. In other words, you can just put nothing there whatsoever and advertise your Mother's Day service or your Christmas service, etc. So the advertising is, you can target it directly. You only pay per click. Those people who actually click on it, that goes to your website, that where you find that tells you more about how to register or more details about the event. And it can be very inexpensive. You can set a a maximum amount that you want to spend for the whole campaign. You can spend the maximum amount of what you want each day and so on. It makes it easy to advertise and one of the most effective advertising tools currently. In fact, Facebook now is getting better advertising results than Google and literally anybody else. So that's Facebook. Let's talk about using social media in these last few minutes that we have. The basics of social media.
Be social.
Yeah, well, there's the key of what, you know, when you feel bad. Hey, it's okay to say you're having a bad day, even on your celebrity account. Just say it in such a way that isn't a drag. People expect you to be transparent. They expect to see the full side of you. Do not air anger. Do not air ugliness. Do not be political in any way, shape, or form.
Well, right. I mean, so again, it's better or worse. You can. It has its good side and its bad sides. And again, on those on non-personal pages and professional matter is not the place to wax. To wax political or to give so much your opinion, right? Because remember, you're a pastor or your staff, and you are communicating something very much larger than you may either realize or you may be comfortable with. But whether you like it or not, that is the reality.
Right. This is not Facebook is not the place to update and bash a colleague. An author or whatever. It's not a good place to bash anybody.
Remember the fruits of the Spirit. I mean, come on. And remember how we're supposed to be walking. If you have any questions, watch the Motivotionals. Motivotionals.com. You can get more information on those. You know, really, and with those, they're really an attempt to help us live our walk out every single day. And that's what this is about. Facebook is a great opportunity to help encourage other people and to help them with their journeys.
Right.
As far as using it from a church standpoint.
Right. Okay. Now, be social, so be somewhat transparent. Okay. Update. Use updates. I mean, let people know at least daily, sometimes more than once or twice a day. Just don't get addicted to it.
Right.
You should post media. You know, if you're tweeting or you're blogging or Facebooking, if you see a great media, a YouTube video, a Vimeo video, an image, hey, post those along. Let people know what's going on. Invite feedback. That's how you get conversations. Mm-hmm. If the social media is meant to be social, that means interactive. And to be interactive, one way is to invite feedback. Mm-hmm. Say, what do you think about, or I'm considering this, you know, et cetera, to invite that feedback and then acknowledge responses. And then finally here, people fan you, follow you, or friend you based on the content of what you have. And so if you are going to be fan, friend, or follow worthy, put stuff up there that matters. No one cares that you went out to eat unless you went out to eat somewhere really spectacular or different or whatever, and something spectacular or different happened there. You know, if you go to a five-star restaurant on top of the Space Needle or whatever, people want to hear about that. They don't care about McDonald's. So, and then finally on Facebook, invite people to events, but use good titles. You know, that, again, as you said earlier, 140 characters and they're just glancing at them in 5 seconds is too much. They're not glancing 1 to 2 seconds. If you have a title that jumps out, that grabs them, people might respond to your invitations. Hey, we have the Ten Commandments written on the bottom of the handout, Ten Commandments, and if you want to see it at YouTube, we have a YouTube video on the Ten Commandments of social media. We're way out of time. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you next week.
Have a good week.